Our preacher, and he's our friend for a long time, and Brother Dave Spurgeon, his wife Susan, they've been coming here to First Bible Church I don't know how long. I can't remember when we started, but it's been a while. It's been a long time, 10 years, 12 years, something like that, 13 years. But been a blessing every time. Our church is better for having known them and having been ministered to by them. And they live in that motorhome out there in the parking lot, travel all over this country, hardly without a break, from East Coast, West Coast, all over the place, blessing churches. And I know for a fact, I don't know what you think about evangelists. Maybe the only thing you know about evangelists is what you see on TV or some derogatory thing you may have heard. But we know this brother, and that's why he keeps coming. And he'll preach, and I know he does. He preaches in churches with 10 people, 12 people. Some guys won't go unless they're assured it's going to be a big enough crowd to get a good offering and keep them on the road. But I know this brother has gone to places where I'm sure it didn't even pay his gas to get there and back. But we've been blessed because of his preaching. This week, if you've missed the services, really, you need to get the tapes, get them online. They'll be posted soon. You need to listen to those messages, especially the one last night, Good News from a Far Country. They were all good, but the one last night was just a special blessing to me, and I hope you'll get that and listen to that. It'll be a blessing to you. So at this time, Brother Dave Spurgeon, his wife Susan, they're going to come sing, and then Brother Dave is going to preach.
Being here, well, that's a blessing, but there's no way I can explain what we get from you when we're here. We travel around, and well, sometimes it's a little discouraging. You know, after 20 years, you'd think you'd be able to put your own mic on, right? And sometimes things get a little discouraging, and then God's got like places like this, cool drink of water, refresh your soul. And just give you what you need to keep going. And we're on our way to Ohio today for a meeting in our own church. And I'm fired up. I don't want to leave. We usually start on Sunday, and I'm not used to leaving like this. But I'll tell you what. What a joy it's been to be with you again. And thank you for your blessing to us. You want to say anything?
I can't say anything. I'll start to cry. I can't say anything.
Amen.
Sorry. I love you guys.
Amen.
I can't talk. I'm speechless.
Mark that down. You've got a calendar. You're not really done. You're not.
I'm not.
No, I'm going to say something. You're not done. Are you? For real?
They understand.
Okay. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Today we are sitting here thinking, and we've been coming here quite a while. 2001, 2002, something like that. And like anybody else that comes to New York City, man, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to see. This is a very exciting place. To me, I find it real interesting that many, many of the brethren in the rest of the country are scared to death of this place. And I'm not telling them any different because I don't want them over here either. I'm having a good time. We've been everywhere I know of, except Harold's. We're going to get that next year, he promised. But something she pointed out today, and it's true. You know, this time, you know what we did? Nothing. You know where we went? Nowhere. You know why we come here? Because of you. This week about in New York is about, and it always was as far as the meeting, but man, we don't need any more. Your friendship, your encouragement, your fellowship, what a blessing it's been. This is the first. I come across the bridge. Gas is over $4 a gallon. I'm thinking, oh my! I bought $25 worth of gas, and I haven't even used it because I haven't been anywhere except here every night. There's nothing in the city that compares to what's been going on here this week. Amen. All right, enough of that. Like Brother Dean said, you can't make a preacher just get up and sing or give announcements. They got to talk.
Thank you, Mark.
I resemble that remark.
Thank you.
For what? Stopping?
Making me cry.
Oh, that's what I do best.
That's true. No. I can't see the note, the things.
You got notes on yours?
Beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place would take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing, and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. The company of prophets, a goodly fellowship of souls, who speak God's word with faith and boldness, who bless the poor and made the wounded whole. Oh, he fell upon his knees. I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, a mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside him. Upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them on. Who are these? They almost shouted at the angel. These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of them who called upon the Savior, in the blood and justified by faith. And oh, he leaped up from his knees. I can go in with thee, and I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Though he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised, but as the seeds of heaven
saying I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to live. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing. I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in.
Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the ground being level at the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
Praise the Lord of Him indeed be willing to save whosoever shall call upon His name. I did it in a jail cell 23 years ago. 23 years ago on my way to federal prison. I didn't get saved. I didn't come to Jesus to get out of jail. I didn't get religion. I finally was in a place in my life where I was at the bottom, and a preacher came and said this: I don't know what you guys are locked up for, but whatever you're looking at in prison pales in comparison to what you're looking at in eternity. And he preached on hell, and I didn't like him, and I didn't like his haircut, and I didn't like his tie, and I didn't like anything about him. But I'm going to tell you something. Where I come from, I greatly value somebody being willing to look me in the eye and tell me the truth.
Amen.
That book said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is, like we sung, Jesus saves. Jesus saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not thinking you're done, are you?
Well,
you're not really thinking. You're not done. No.
I'm not done. Not. Okay, I'm not done.
Amen.
Okay, I'm not done.
You guys aren't in a hurry, are you?
Yes, they
that's
are.
Good, because I didn't hear you.
Do you think that's an okay song?
Yes, ma'am. I think you should sing that.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair, for it glows with the light of His presence. 'Tis the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from His lips words of comfort in the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and He bids you to come meet Him there, just to bow and receive a new blessing in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer.
Amen.
Is that good? Can I go now? Thank
you're
you.
You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope that's what you've been doing this week, going and praying and communing with the Lord over the meeting. I think somebody has, because He's met with us. As big as that motorhome out there may seem, God didn't ride in with me. You understand what I'm saying? He's met with us because you wanted him to. He's not the one playing hard to get. He's met with us this week because you prayed, because you've humbled yourself, because you whatever maybe needed to be dealt with. You dealt with something along the way, honestly, because God has met with us. Amen. I'm not the most spiritual guy in the world, but I got enough sense to know when he's around. And he's been around. And I don't, I mean, that'd be stupid to even pretend to take any credit for that. I just like being where he is. And so thank you for letting me be here. Like Brother Dean said, that subject of prayer, everybody in here, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, you have access to God directly. And so again, religion isn't necessary. You can come boldly under the throne of grace yourself to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a regular thing for me, and that's a real blessing to know that that's true. So again, thank you for letting us come. Thank you for letting us serve the Lord with you, and thank you for your friendship. And I covet your prayers as we leave today we got it 600 miles ago. Our children have already come to our home and cleaned it and looking for us to come home. And we're looking forward to seeing the grandkids. Okay, our kids too. We like them too. But them six grandkids, amen. But pray for us as we travel. And I'll tell you what, you mark this thing down right here. You're in our prayers because we love you. All right. Good to see Stephen back there. See, you've been on leave for a while. Starting to look like I did before I got saved there with the hair. I love you too, brother, and I'm glad to see you. So since you're here, I'll read this one here. A minister parked his car in a no parking zone in the city because he was short of time and he couldn't find a space with a meter. So he put a note under the windshield wiper that read, "I have circled this block 100 times. If I don't park here, I will miss my appointment." And then he wrote in big capital letters, "Forgive us our trespasses." So when a cop pulled up on his motorcycle, amen, he saw it. And, okay, when the guy got back to his car, rather, he returned and he found a citation on the wiper. And there was a note from the police officer. And so he wrote this. He said, "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job." And a big capital letter that said, "Lead us not into temptation." That's all you need, a safe cop out there. Amen. It's good to see you, brother. I hope you're getting better. Take your Bibles today and go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I almost read the one where a preacher was opening his mail and he pulled out a piece of paper and it only had one word. In big letters, it said, "Fool." So the preacher took the letter into the pulpit the following Sunday, and he said this. You know, I've heard of people getting letters and people having forgotten to sign their name. But this is the first time I ever got a letter where a guy signed his name and forgot to write the letter. I was going to say that one, but I went the other one. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 1, and it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Amen. What I want to preach on today comes out of verse number 3. It says this. He sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. No doubt he'd heard of him. The Lord's fame preceded him as he traveled around, place that he'd been, miracles that he'd done. And no doubt word got back to Jericho, and Jesus had been there. And so he sought to see him. He wanted to see him with his own eyes. Maybe he'd heard about his preaching. You know, over in Matthew 23, the Lord skinned the Pharisees real good, called them whited sepulchers and hypocrites. And Zacchaeus here was a publican, chief, as a matter of fact. And there's no doubt he liked hearing the religious crowd getting skinned by Jesus. There was no love lost between the publicans and the Pharisees. It says in Luke 7, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. That's what the Pharisee said. Over there in Luke chapter 18, that Pharisee prayed thus with himself and went on and on, or even as this publican. So I got a feeling that if Zacchaeus would have heard that Jesus had been taking, again, the religious crowd down a notch or two, that might have caused him to be curious. Or maybe it was the initial message as he arrived on the scene in Matthew chapter 4 after being baptized, and he began his ministry with a simple message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's pretty ominous. No doubt in my mind that Zacchaeus was curious, and the Bible tells us he sought to see Jesus. And I'll tell you what I want to preach at this morning. He sought to see Jesus. Father, once again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, what a privilege it is to be your child. What a privilege it is to have your infallible word. And what a privilege it is to live in this country where we can come and go. And if we decide to come to a place that says church on the sign, we can do that without fear of persecution. And Lord God, some of the brethren think that day's coming. And maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know or care much. I just want to do what you told me to do until then. And right now, I'm really consciously appreciative of the freedom that we have in America, and also very conscious of the sacrifice that men and women are making so that we can still have this freedom. So I pray that we not take that for granted any longer and get in on this thing and do something for the Lord while we can. Lord, I count it a privilege to stand in the pulpit of my dear friend, but God, I admit humbly that I'm not up to the task to minister to this great multitude of people you brought in here today, but you are, and we commit the service to you, and I pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord God, that maybe somebody in here would get a glimpse of Jesus Christ in a way, Lord God, that'll draw them to you, saved or lost. I love you today, Lord, and I pray this message puts a smile on your face, and not only the preaching of it, but the response to it. And we pray that in, again, the mighty, majestic name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. He sought to see Jesus, okay, who he was. So let's examine that for a minute. Let's just try to get a glimpse from the Scripture on who he was. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 53, like the lead sing, it said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's our Savior today. That's how Isaiah described who he was. The angel Gabriel in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. We're seeking today to see Jesus, who he is, and we can find that in various passages of the Scripture have been referred to differently. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Over in Luke chapter 11, the Pharisees said, some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils." A fellow over there, or lady actually, in John chapter 4 and verse 29, here's what she said. She said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." Is this not the Christ? Amen. She had it right. She had it right. I'll tell you what God said about him. We're talking about Jesus today in Matthew chapter 3. At the end of the chapter, here's what God said. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Over there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And in John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus Christ said of himself, I and the Father are one. The passage shows us that Zacchaeus, a good desire, a noble desire, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And as we look through Scripture, we see him described in various ways, Old Testament, New Testament. There are many more references. Amen. So I just want to submit to you today, because the world has a lot of ideas about who he is. They get them from a variety of places. And so that's what I want to say. Who was he? Listen, let me ask you something. Was Jesus Christ a con artist? Was he a con artist? I'll tell you something. I know something about the street. I'll say this. If he was, he's the greatest con artist that ever lived. More wars have been fought in his name. More buildings have been built. More songs have been sung. More books have been written. The only supernatural book that was ever written is all about Jesus Christ. But there's people who say he wasn't who he said he was. I guarantee you today, beloved, he is exactly who he said he was. Amen. Billions and billions of, I mean literally billions and billions of people have come and gone since 33 A.D. And none of them are thought about as much or talked about as much or talked to as much as Jesus Christ. You know what this world wants to know? Was he for real? I'm going to tell you what. In Bible times, people were hoping he was, and nothing's changed. Out there today, people may mock, and people may be skeptical, but in the heart of the human being, there is a place that hopes that there's something real. And I'm going to tell you today, there is, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the realest thing that ever set foot on this planet, that ever drew a breath, that ever spoke a word. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm happy to report that as of November 30th, 1990, he became my personal Savior. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was, and I hope this morning that you can concur with me that he is your personal Savior. But as we go through the passage, look at verse 3 again. It says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. He could not. The Bible says, for the press, there was a lot of people there. He couldn't get up to where Jesus was going to pass by. And you know what's really interesting about that? As we look at verse 5, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, Zacchaeus couldn't get to Jesus. So Jesus came to him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. A little over 2,000 years ago, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed world so that he could make himself available to you. You couldn't get to him, but he came to you. That book says he came to the place. And it says in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1 and 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. Amen. You know what that means? We are all pre-qualified for salvation. To save sinners. That's a tall order in light of the fact that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being that ever drew a breath in God's economy, because he's not like us, he doesn't compare to so-and-so. Amen. In God's economy, the Bible says all have sinned, and so Jesus came down to make a way for all sin to be forgiven. Who could do such a thing? Well, he described in Psalm 24, and it was in one of our hymns. It says this, Psalm 24:8, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And I am humbled today that the King of glory came down to this earth so he could come to where you were. So he could come out to where I was. There's a song. There's a song. Don't worry. I'm not going to break into song again. But it goes something like this. When I could not come to where he was, He came to me. I've already told you this morning. He came to me in a jail cell in Montgomery County, Ohio, in 1998. I got special permission as a convicted felon to go back into the jail where I got saved. I got on the very range in the old part of the jail in the single cell. There's a fella sitting there on the bunk in cell number 2. I stood in the catwalk and I looked and tears came to my eyes. And he said, "What the blankety blank you looking at?" I looked at him and I said, "Well, I was just remembering the day that it got real crowded in that cell." And he, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Pal, there was a day when God got in there with me. That's where he had to come to for me." Amen. My wife, 5 years of college, master's degree in psychology. I'm the only evangelist you know with a staff psychologist. I mean, that girl spent all that time in college. She's got one patient. And believe me, her hands are full. Amen. Home in the suburbs, raising pedigree Doberman's Corvette in the garage, but she had enough sense to admit at 23 year old something was missing, and in her bedroom next to her bed, amen, she knelt down and she called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to where she was. Pray for our church over in Dayton, Ohio. My pastor's name is Patrick Murphy. He's a retired Navy chief. Amen. He's a fine man. He got saved in 1988 in his early 20s in his rack off the coast of Marseille, France. God came to where he was. You know what? Many people, and probably many in this room, and certainly many across the country, they came, they responded to the drawing of the sweet Holy Spirit and came forward at the acceptance of an invitation, hey, to allow a Christian, doesn't even have to be a preacher. We got teenagers in this building that can show you what the Bible says. They responded, and at an old-fashioned altar, they bowed their heart, and there's nothing religious about it, but I'll tell you what, if you'll bow your heart to Jesus Christ, you know what he'll do? He'll come to where you were. You know what that passage says? It says he came to the place. I'll tell you what, that's the Savior to have right there. It isn't about what you can do to get to him. I'll tell you what, if you have an honest heart, he'll come. He'll come to you. And Zacchaeus had been searching, and he couldn't get to where Jesus was. The passage shows us that. The passage tells us that. But the passage tells us that Jesus came to him. You might be in there searching today. We're glad you're in church. Praise the Lord. You're more than welcome. You know when Brother Dean says that, when Brother Mike says that, they mean it. They really mean it. Amen. They're glad you're here. Amen. When these people hug your neck and welcome you, they mean it. I've been coming here a long time. They think they're checking me out. I've been checking them out. Yeah. And he says, "Spurgeon, yeah, we know him. He's real. That's why we have him come back." Let me tell you something. I'm checking you out, and you're real, and that's why I keep coming back. Amen. What a blessing it is. I'm glad you're here today. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't take it for granted that means you're saved. I don't take it for granted that means you're a Christian. You might be the finest person in the community. But if you're here today because there's something inside of you searching, I got good news for you. He'll meet you here today. He'll save you here today. Amen. The Lord made it easy. Man makes it hard. Religion makes it hard. The Lord made it easy. The Bible says there in verse 3, it said he came. It says in verse 3, it says he sought to see Jesus who he was. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, it says he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, "Make haste." Oh, wow, there's some kind of urgency to this thing. Jesus didn't make his way through the multitude that had come to see him in Jericho that day and spot Zacchaeus up there in that sycamore tree and him being omnipotent, knowing that he wanted to see him, and then he went and put some effort into it and climbed that tree, and Jesus is going through and people are talking to him. Amen. He didn't look up and say, "Hey, me and you, we need to get together." No, he didn't. He didn't say, "Have your secretary call my secretary, and we need to make an appointment. We need to get together." You know what he said? He said, "Make
haste. Amen. For those that struggle with the King James Bible, that means hurry up. He said, for today. Today. He said, for today I must abide at thy house. He didn't say one of these days. He said today. Somebody in here may be thinking, you know, I hear the preacher and I know what he's talking about, and I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to come to Jesus one of these days. That's what we do. I'm going to tell you why there's great danger in that. I'm going to tell you why the Lord made a point to say, make haste. I'm going to tell you why there's an urgency. And it's more than just you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And that's certainly true. But I'm going to tell you something. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Do you understand what's going on here today? Amen. The word of God is being sown. The supernatural, inspired word of God is being sown. And it said, but when they have heard, that's what you're doing. You're hearing. I'm sowing. You're hearing. This is the word. This is the seed. This isn't Dave Spurgeon's opinion. My opinion and where the plug nickel more than yours. But it says, but when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And you know what he does? You know what he's doing every time the infallible word of God is being presented? Every time this supernatural transaction goes on when the word of God is preached, you know what the devil's doing? He is in there with supernatural opposition. And what he does is he gives reason after reason not to come, not to respond, not to get saved. Here, some of them, people, they sit there at the edge of their seat, white-knuckling the chair in front of them, and these are some of the things I know. I've talked to people. Things that keep them from responding. What will they have to give up? That's why people don't come to Christ, because they got some preconceived notion about religion. And I think, well, where's the rule book? What's the rule book say I'm going to have to do? What's the rule book say about what I'm going to have to give up? You know, one of there's a fellowship track league track that spoke to my heart. I mean, years ago, right, when I first got saved, and on the cover it said, what you miss by being a Christian. And when you open it, it had one word. Hell. That's what you have to give up. That's what you have to give up. Eternity in a lake of fire with the devil. You know, if that's what's holding you back, you know, can I encourage you? Amen. You can live without it. You can live forever. Amen. In that wonderful place that Jesus Christ himself prepared. Amen. What will my friends think? Well, my friends weren't too happy about it, but they didn't know any better. And now after 20 years, you know what? God, little by little, has given me an opportunity to try to win some of those friends. But you know what he did in the meantime? He gave me some new ones. Amen. I'll tell you what. Don't be guilty of standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And when you give an account of yourself, and the Bible says every one of us shall. And when you give an account of rejecting the glorious gospel of Christ, I hope your account won't go like this. Yes, Jesus, I was witnessed to, I was preached to, I was given a tract, I knew I was a sinner, I knew I needed to get saved, but I never did because I was worried about what my friends would think. And you know what you're going to hear? Depart from me, ye accursed, in an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you think that is a good reason to step into eternity in a lake of fire? That's how it is. That's why some people never get saved. Amen? Maybe you should get saved. Maybe your friends will see a change in you. Maybe that'll make the eternal difference in their life. Amen. You know, I had a guy say one time, well, I don't think I can live it. He didn't think he didn't want to get saved. He didn't want to get forgiveness because he didn't think he could live the Christian life. I don't think I can live the Christian life. And I've been full-time on the road preaching for almost 18 years. And I'm going to tell you what, if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't help me on a daily basis, man, my stinking flesh would go right back to doing every wicked thing I ever done. That's why we have to keep our guard up. Don't worry about having to live it, man. Let him live it.
Amen.
He's the one that lives it. He'll live it. You know what some people say? Some people say this. I know I need to get saved, but there's some things that I want to do first. Yeah, well, come on. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a Confederate cavalry leader, and his wife was a Christian. He was a businessman. And his wife, he enlisted in the Confederacy. And his wife begged him to get saved. Said, "You need to get saved. You could die in battle, and you'll end up in hell, and then it'll be too late." And you know what he said to her? He said, "I'm going to have to do some things in war that a Christian shouldn't have to do." And he went off unsaved. He had six horses shot out from under him. Amen. Only by the grace of God, literally, because the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. His wife prayed for him. He made it through the war. He survived. And he comes back to Memphis, Tennessee after the war. And there was a lieutenant standing on a street corner with a Bible in his hand. Amen. And he went over and he said, "Lieutenant, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm telling people about the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know what Nathan Bedford Forrest did? He bowed his heart publicly on the side of the road and he asked Jesus Christ to save him. He made it through the war. But you know what? He didn't get saved because he was afraid. There were some things he was going to have to do. Some people don't get saved because they got their goal, their desire, something in their heart, some sin or something they want to go do, and they're thinking, God does not play games like that. You have no guarantee. That Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And none of us has a guarantee we're ever going to have a chance to go do what we wanted to do and ever come back to Christ. People step out into eternity on a daily basis that in their mind, somewhere along the way, they were going to take care of this later. And later never comes. Most people, I don't want to throw around statistics wrongly like so many do. But I'm going to tell you this, I can safely say this. A whole lot of people that are counting on a deathbed experience step into eternity in the twinkling of an eye. They don't get last rites. They don't get a chance to pray at all. People killed in wrecks and war and go into comas and that's it, man. You know what every single human being's going to do? They're going to say, "Have mercy on me." The rich man did it in Luke 16 after he stepped into eternity and he didn't get mercy. I did it in a jail cell and I got it. I'm going to tell you what, there's urgency to this thing. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and it was well said. He's the Son of the living God. He is God. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, he came to the place. I'm glad to report today that there are churches in America where if somebody walked through the door like I walked through the door at Charity Baptist Church 23 years ago with hair down the middle of my back and all the tattoos and everything that I came in with, people would have thought, "Oh no, you got to go clean up your act before you're going to be welcome here." Oh yeah. If you could clean up your act, what in the world do you need Jesus Christ for? I'm going to tell you what, he can supply a need that nobody can supply for themselves. He can forgive your sin. He can put your name in the book of life. But he'll come to where you are, but there's some urgency to this thing. Here's the scary one. I've heard people say this. "I know I'm a sinner. I don't doubt what the Bible says about what Jesus did. And I'm going to get saved eventually. Just not right now." There may be somebody like that in here right now. You're honest enough within your own spirit. Say, "Yeah, boy, if that..." And when I prayed, I said, "If that book's true and hell's real, I'm going there." Amen. But I'll tell you what I did right after that. I asked for the forgiveness. You know what we do? We admit that we're sinners and we say to ourselves, "Wow, if hell's real, I'm going there." And then we don't do anything about it. And again, let me say, some people never get a chance to take care of it later. Let me give you some Bible examples. Acts 24 and 25 says this, "Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Oh, Paul had been witnessing to him, and Paul is getting through to him, and he knows it's true, and the Bible said he trembled, and he said, "That's enough for now. I'll call." You know, there's no record in the Bible
that he ever got saved. There's no record in the Bible that a convenient season. Don't you know there's a devil that made sure there was never a convenient season? He could have called on the name of the Lord right then while the Lord was dealing with him, while the witness was there. But he waited. And some of you are waiting too. I'm just trying to get it across to you this morning. The best way I know how, there's some urgency to this thing. God's a merciful God, and he's a God of a million chances. But some of you have had 999,000, and I don't know how many more you got. And I'm trying to tell you today that he told that guy, make haste. You know, in Acts 26 and 28, it says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa was a good man. Amen. Agrippa was married to a Jewish lady. He knew the law and the prophets. He was good to the Jewish people. Amen. And almost got it. And there's no record in the Bible he ever got it. I'm telling you something today. You might be right like that in here. Like these two guys I just spoke of. You got close. You're close. You might be close right now. But I want to tell you, almost. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Can I tell you this morning that almost a Christian is not a Christian. Amen. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Amen. Any more than sleeping in the car, sleeping in a garage makes you a car. You hear me? That's Dave Spurgeon theological level. That's how I think. Well, people think that. Amen. Let me tell you something. Getting baptized does not make you a Christian. Amen. You can get in that thing. There's no tadpoles in there. But I mean, people down south, they get baptized. Listen, you can get baptized till the tadpoles know you personally. But that doesn't make you a Christian. There's people that teach that that does. It doesn't. Amen. Let me tell you something. Being a good person doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. I'll tell you something else. A Christian upbringing doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian education doesn't make you a Christian. Living by Christian principles does not make you a Christian. Only Jesus Christ can make you a Christian. Amen. And he can, and he wants to, and he did everything that was needed to. And what you need to do is let him. If you're in here and you're not saved, you need to let him. Don't step into eternity. Almost. You won't step into heaven with a testimony like that. Jesus told Zacchaeus there to make haste. And again, that means hurry up. And you know what? Sometimes people get saved. They get saved. But then, you know, the cares of this life and the temptations and everything in this life, and they get off track, and they're not where they should be with the Lord. And there might be somebody like that in here today. And here's what they say, and they hear the preaching. One of these days, I know I should get right. I know there's some things I need to quit doing. I know there's some things I need to start doing. I know I got in on the greatest gift could ever be given, and my life doesn't show that I appreciate it very much, and I'm really saved, and I know I disappoint my Savior, but I'm going to get that straightened out one of these days. One of these days. Just not today. There's some things I want to do. Or there's some friends. Christians can think just like lost people. Because their flesh isn't any more saved than it was before. Amen. And I tell you what, the difference between a Christian and a lost person is, if you got much Bible in you at all, you know that you don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. You put things off knowing you don't have any. You got two guarantees in the Bible, though. They both concern where you're going to spend eternity. And if you're saved, you step into eternity, and you're going to. Everybody's going to. If you're saved, you go up. And that's a guarantee. And you got God's word on it. But if you're not, you're going down. You're going down in flames. You're going to a devil's lake of fire. And I don't say that to be ugly. I'm saying that to tell you, why would you risk it? In light of Jesus Christ doing everything that needed to be done. You know what he said on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. Amen. So, since you don't know how much time you have, and maybe you know that there's some areas in your life that need to be straightened out, I invite you to take advantage of that today. Amen.
This would be a good day to get with the Lord and a good day to get right with the Lord before you have to do it face to face at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes we get to singing and we act like we conveniently choose to believe that one day the trumpet's going to blow and up we're going to go and leave our cares behind. Some Christians are more interested in their disappearing than His appearing. And maybe that's me sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't go up and then come down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. With a little parenthesis called the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and it's referred to as the terror of the Lord, and there you'll be judged for your conduct as a Christian. I'm trying to provoke you to search your heart, and if there's something that you don't want to confess to Jesus Christ face to face, and you will, amen. Well, maybe it'd be good to get that taken care of long before you get there. And the benefits of that are out of this world. You can start with a clean slate today. The joy of your salvation can be your strength. The peace and fellowship with your Savior can be returned like it was when you got saved, before the cares and the affairs of this world entered in. If you're in here today, boy, I'll tell you what, that has been our desire this week. It is our desire this hour to see Jesus, who He was. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, it's with joy that I report that He's willing to come to where you are. Amen. He'll meet with you, buddy. I'm telling you what, the ground is level at the cross of Calvary. And if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a Christian, you can know and you need to know and you need to take care of it. Today He said, make haste. And again, if something's not right, God's giving you another chance as a Christian to get things straightened out. The Bible says we confess our sins. It's not a salvation verse. We have sins. We're not perfect. Only He's perfect. If we were, we'd be bragging about it. We brag about ourselves anyway. Wonder what God thinks of that. Oh, actually, I do know. But the Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let opportunity after opportunity and message after message and the wooing of the Holy Spirit as He tries to draw you back into fellowship. Don't let message after message and invitation after invitation just roll off your back like water off the duck back and go out the same as you came in. Man, you're missing out on the beauty and the glory of a true, working, walking, living relationship with the King of Glory. Verse 5 again, and when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and He saw Him and He said unto Him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Come down. You know, that's the way to Jesus. Down. That's what's keeping some people from Jesus, because they won't come down. Whether it's down from the high horse of thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought, or down from the position of thinking, well, compared to so-and-so, I'm pretty good. Down from thinking, I'm all right. Let me tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you're not all right. Not for eternity's sake. You hear me? Some folks need to come down from old-fashioned self-righteousness to come to God. Self-righteousness, that's spelled P-R-I-D-E. That's what keeps people from Christ. They won't humble themselves. They won't admit that they've got a need that they can't take care of themselves. They're tough. They're smart. They're talented. You're doomed until you come down. Amen? Pride will keep you from Jesus, and pride will keep Jesus from you. And I got news for you. No matter what you're thinking right now, you need Him a whole lot more than He needs you. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know what some people need to come down from? Their own righteousness. Some people need to come down from rebellion. Rebellion. You know what? Some of us, I can look around a room, I can tell who's my age, and some of us made great rebels back in the 60s and the 70s. Then you know what happens? Then we get saved. And we still make great rebels. I don't want to be a rebel anymore. I'm glad I lived out my fantasies till I was almost 38 years old. I just want to find out what the Lord wants. Amen. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, I look at it like this. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Yeah, that's pretty clear. I mean, you don't need an NIV to figure that one out, do you? I mean, you don't need to be able to speak Greek or Hebrew to understand what. Amen? But I'm going to tell you this. Some folks that I run into have such an aversion to being told what to do that they're going to die and go to hell. Rather than whether they're going to die and go to hell in spite of the sacrifice, Jesus. You must? I do? No, I don't. Duh. I'm going to tell you something else. Some people need to come down from their own righteousness. Some people need to come down from rebellion. Some people need to come down from religion. You know, you do much personal work, you hear people say, well, I believe. Or I was taught. Amen. Or I saw on the Discovery Channel. It's amazing, some of the things. Amen. It's amazing. Some of them. I've had people argue with me about creation, the Bible versus some special they saw last week. I'm going, I'm serious. The devil knows what he's doing, folks. And he's got heresy coming in from every direction. Amen. I got news for you. And you know, I hope you know I love you. If what you think, or what you believe, or what you were taught, is contrary to the Word of God, you believe wrong. You think wrong. You are taught wrong. The Bible is right. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. It is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. David Spurgeon is not up here giving a speech. I'm not a speaker. That's a speaker. I'm here telling you what the book says. You understand? My opinion isn't worth any more than yours. We're trying to tell you what God has to say. And don't let your religion keep you from Jesus Christ. He told him to come down. To come to Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come down from whatever it may be that clouds your ability to see Him as He is. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How can you resist a crucified Savior, an all-powerful Creator that submitted Himself to the death of the cross, allowed them to nail nails to His hands and feet and beat Him? How can you resist the love that it took to hold Him up there? He did that for you. I hope that if you're in here today and you're not saved, on prayer is that you would quit resisting that great love. The sinless, sacrificial Lamb of God came to earth to make a way for mankind to be washed from their iniquity and transgressions, because those iniquities and those transgressions require an eternal payment in a lake of fire. Don't let self-righteousness, don't let rebellion, and don't let religion damn you to an eternal hell. I remember the day I sought to see Jesus, who He was. Amen? November 30th, 1990, about 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't have any preacher. I had a Bible. I was in Matthew, I think. I laid it on the floor next to myself. And I said, Lord, if what that Bible says is true, I got bigger problems than I thought. I was looking at 37 years then. I got bigger problems than I thought. I'm guilty. I'm going to penitentiary the rest of my life. The feds get their way. And I'm going to go to hell too. And you and me both know I deserve it. I wasn't talking to a chaplain. I wasn't talking to a counselor. I was talking to the Lord like He was real. First time in my life. I got news for you. He's real. Amen. I got news for you. He was listening. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And you know what? That day, he washed me of my sin. I'd never been the same. He didn't make a wimp out of me. He didn't make a punk out of me. He didn't make a snitch out of me. He made a man out of me.
Amen.
That's the truth. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad. I'm glad to be saved. But let me tell you something. The best thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is not who he was. It's who he is.
Amen.
Who he is right this minute. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And he's the creator of everything. And he's my Savior. And you know the best thing about it? Well, if you're saved, he's your Savior too. And I pray that the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart about something. And there's something that needs some spiritual attention. I pray that you'd give it. Because, beloved, let me remind you, he gave you all his attention once. But if you're in here and you're not saved, let me tell you who he is. He's the sinless Son of God that's willing to save you today. This isn't all past tense, the story. We preach through it. But I'm going to tell you what, my God's alive and well. And he's available to be called on this morning. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Have you done that? I'm glad I did that. If you're in here, you're still seeking. Well, you got a glimpse. It's just the best I could do. I sell him short. But I'm telling you something. You can meet him in a very real way today. If you just avail yourself to him. Preacher, you come.
Let's stand together if we could right now with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Pat, you come. Pix, if you're here, go ahead, please. Thank you, brother. Do you remember the day that Jesus Christ came to your house? Remember the day he came into your life? Do you remember the day? Has your life ever been the same since then? Never been the same. The day he came to my house. On my knees at a sofa in my living room. I wasn't in a jail cell, but I was in a prison spiritually, morally. I was in a hole. I was in a deep, deep hole. And I remember it was as if he walked in that living room and met me right by that couch. And my life has never been the same.
Yes.
Ever been the same since that day. You owe him. You owe him everything you got. He doesn't even ask anything but for you to love him, serve him. And you owe him everything for what he's done for you. If you're here this morning and you're saved, and maybe you didn't need that message in order to be saved, but you know what? The preaching of the gospel and the lifting up of Jesus Christ for the believer is a daily necessity, because this brain is so full of mush sometimes we forget. You need to be reminded every day. That's what preaching does. The Spirit of God reminds you that he is wonderful, that Jesus Christ is all. And if God spoke to your heart today, you're saved. But God spoke to your heart today. Maybe just today you just are rejoicing in your Savior. We're going to sing. You might want to just come and just thank the Lord for saving you. Maybe there's someone on your heart who needs to get saved. Maybe you want to come and just pray. Lift up their name to Jesus Christ this morning and ask him to visit their house, to visit their heart, and to save them. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know that Savior that the preacher preached about this morning. Maybe he's standing there at the foot of that tree, and there you are, stuck up there in all your problems, stuck up there in that tree. There you are, stuck, and there he is, standing at that tree, and all you have to do is just come down to him and receive him. Your life will never be the same. Sins forgiven, home in heaven, a companion, a Savior, a friend, a Father, through life, right by your side. Who'll never leave you, never forsake you. You'll never have a problem and it's too big for him to help and fix. Never. He's never seen a problem too big. Every one of your prayers, even when you're in a crisis, do you know it's a little thing for him? It's not a major problem, major request for him. Wouldn't you want Him as a friend today? Wouldn't you want Him as a Savior today? If you don't know Him today, if you've never trusted Him, we want to just open this invitation to you right now. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, we're going to sing. You can step out from where you are. Come right here. I'll meet you. Someone will meet you. Take a Bible. Help you privately. Just talk to you and show you out of the Scriptures how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says that Zacchaeus received Him. That's all you have to do today. Open your heart. Receive Him. Just receive Him. The Bible says He came unto His own. His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. How much more simple could the Lord have made it? Just open your heart and receive Him today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, it isn't complicated. It isn't complicated. He made it simple.
Amen.
And He made it eternal. Eternal. The gift of God. If you're here today and you need to be saved, as we sing, please just step out where you are and come forward. Someone will help you. We'll meet you here. We'll talk with you and pray with you. And you can know for sure that you're saved. You know what? Before we sing, let's bow our heads for just one moment. And I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge at least that that's your need today. Is there anyone here this morning and you would say, that message spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart this morning and I realize that I need to be saved. And I would like to do something about that. I would like to ask the Lord to save me today. I know I need to be saved. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. Is there anyone like that this morning? Just slip your hand up and say, please pray for me this morning. I know I need to be saved. I would appreciate your prayers. Anyone like that? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Is Jesus Christ truly today, really and truly today, your Savior? Or are you just one of those people who know a lot of things about Him, but you've never put your faith and your confidence in Him? Is there anyone like that today? You might have grown up in this church. You might have grown up in a Christian family. But like the preacher said, you may not have ever really trusted Christ and received Him as your Savior. Anyone at all like that? Slip your hand up and put it right back down. All right, well, if God is dealing with you in any way this morning, if He spoke to your heart during that message, maybe you just needed the encouragement of that message, needed to be reminded of how wonderful the Savior is. Maybe you needed to be reminded what a miracle it is that He ever came to your heart, visited your house. What a privilege and a precious gift that is from God. Maybe it's just gotten old and stale for you. God help you. God help me that it would ever get that way. Father, help us now. Even as we sing this song, I pray, Lord, if you've been dealing with your people this morning in any way, that, Lord, we might just come, even if it's just to thank you for saving us. But maybe there's someone, Lord, in this room that still needs to be saved. Pray that you would work in their heart and help them today, Lord, that they might not make the mistake of walking away from you and this opportunity, Lord. Pray that you'll have your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Pat.
252. Join us. 252. Come every soul by
faith. All right, amen. All right, amen. You just need to talk to the Lord about anything. You just come right ahead.
And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. For Jesus shed His precious blood,
rich blessings
to bestow. Plunge now into the
crimson flood and
washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Save you.
He will save you now.
Yes, Jesus is the truth. the way that leads you into rest. In Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
We're going to sing another verse of that while these are here praying. But if you can honestly say today, with an honest heart toward the Lord, that you are saved and you are on your way to heaven, that's your testimony today, and you're sure of that beyond any shadow of a doubt, can you lift your hand up this morning? It's all because of God. The Lord did it for you.
Amen.
But I'm glad that today, when we lift a hand like that, we're not boasting in ourselves. We're not pointing a finger at our own righteousness, because we're nothing. Even our righteousnesses are just filthy rags to the Lord. But we can say with certainty today that we're saved, not because of ourselves or our efforts to live by those Christian principles, but we can know for sure that we're saved because Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is our righteousness. It's because of Him. That's what salvation is. It's not becoming a Christian, becoming a different person. It's receiving the Savior, like Zacchaeus did. Receiving Him into your heart. And then He becomes our salvation. And if you have never done that, you have never done that. You may go to church, you may go to this church. But if you have never truly received Jesus Christ in your heart, then you are not saved. You are deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself. And you won't understand the tragedy of that probably until it's too late. Until that trumpet sounds and you're either left behind or you die and go out into eternity and you find out you had never really put your faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing another verse or two of this song and then we're going to go. But if God's tugging at your heart this morning and you're not sure of your salvation, then why don't you take this opportunity? God has provided this opportunity for you this morning to just be sure of your salvation. Make certain that Jesus Christ is your Savior today. All right, as we sing, you come if you need to. And if not, then we'll be dismissed. But if God is dealing with you this morning, then please take this opportunity right now. We have a few minutes left. And just let God have His way in your heart, okay?
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him,
only trust Him,
only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you now.
Amen. It's been a good morning, right? Ooh, it's been a great week. God's been good to us.
Amen.
Now listen, we have food downstairs. Sure. Amen. This announcement has been brought to you courtesy of First Bible Church. All right, now listen, we're going to have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the food.